grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, love boat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in, marijuana.
It is. Welcome, Chris Fowley, back to BFM.
Oh, thank you very much. Pleasure to be here, as always.
What's going on?
Well, I was just scrolling through the this past week in time, and as always, there's just so much going on. It's phenomenal.
Every day is another day.
If you remember all the way back to last week, we were talking about Duncan Garner and the crazy things he was saying, and that of course culminated in
classic fearmongering. It was vintage fearmongering. Actually.
Controversial to be the sake of controversy.
I kind of missed that kind of fearmongering a little bit. I was like, oh, check out that old bloody bugger trying to scare people up a little bit.
I guess what's quite good about it is that the anti-campaign are just so ridiculous, they don't have any credibility. When you have Family First saying what they say and Duncan Garner saying what he's saying, it's kind of, so not exactly believable and credible to most people. But Jack Tame did a good kind of column in response, a bit of a battle between the journalists, I guess. Protect kids from cannabis by legalising it. And this, of course, is what we've been saying for a long time. Under the illicit market, you don't have age restrictions or any restrictions. No one checks for ID down at the tinny shops and that sort of thing. So if your concern really is around teenage use, and this is where Duncan Garner's tirade came from, was this meta study that's come out overseas showing that there could be a higher rate of certain mental issues like depression, but not, interestingly, anxiety. But there was a couple of other ones that were higher among people who smoked cannabis heavily at a young age. That, of course, is a good, that's happening under the current law, and it's actually a very good reason. That's one of the things that Duncan missed out from his
current lack of
his, analysis was, the study was actually looking all in places where it was illegal.
Yeah.
So, Jack Tame was saying, well, if you want to protect kids, it's actually legalising it and putting in an age limit and those sorts of checks and harm reduction information at the point of sale and having, trained people who are selling it.
When did someone last sell homebrew beer or beer to minors? It doesn't happen. It's so uncommon, black market alcohol into the hands of kids.
Are you calling for it a little bit?
Exactly. And there's a lot we can learn from
Bummed out?
Well, actually.
It'd be nice to get some moonshine from time to time.
Some bootleg liquor out to the black market.
I can't see, but shit, I feel good.
Well, that does put it in perspective too. That is the thing with alcohol and a lot of other things that can kill people. Chloe Swarbrick got to debate Duncan Garner on Monday morning on the AM show.
I was and, both painful and fantastic.
Wasn't it just? Yes. I was so worked up by the end of it. I had to get medicated just to calm down. And
Chloe's got the numbers there. You can't fuck with Chloe.
Yeah, and she just handled it so well. And Duncan was really trying to bait her and wind her up.
She handled that like a true professional. And
when you know the subject inside out.
I feel like he knew he was on shaky ground as well. I just feel didn't. Yeah.
The 12 bullet points on a bit of paper, that he didn't even know what they meant. He didn't have the source material. He didn't actually know what these points meant. He was just saying what his producer was saying. This is what it seemed to me. Yeah. I could be mistaken, Duncan, if you're listening. Yeah. You might know, but it's certainly what it seemed to me as a viewer.
If you are listening, hey. Hey.
I realise he does talk to he talks to far more people than we do, and on across a lot more topics.
Challenge accepted,
but
though. I'm keen
did,
to try that
he
out.
He did put out, some fairly intense
bullshit
views on it a few days before, so you would have thought he would have, been backed up.
Yeah, well, he didn't have anything to back up because it was just ramblings from a fucking scared dude.
Let down by the producers.
Hey, you're with
really.
Marijuana Media. How's it going? I've just answered the phone, Chris.
Oh.
Hello, Pocket Call. Are you walking up some scaffolding? Or? Look.
So
maybe
back
don't
to,
call in.
That was good. No, it was great. So what else do we have? We had a study come out of England following up on that and on the thing about the young people. There was another huge study. This was the one that Chloe Swarbrick referred to, and it's in The Guardian. Tough cannabis policies do not deter young people. So this was a meta-analysis of a whole bunch of different places. And so again, if you want to deter cannabis use among young people, there's no point getting tough because it doesn't work. Next interesting thing that happened, this was only on Tuesday, I think, Paula Bennett, who of course has said some astounding things about cannabis in the past, and then she's posted on Facebook, it may come as a surprise to some, but I was disappointed to see the police continuing to spend resources on aerial cannabis operations. Not only does it threaten the supply of medicinal cannabis to the most vulnerable, it drives up the price for recreational use, often turning people to more harmful stuff like meth.
She definitely wants to be the Prime Minister, doesn't she?
I'm not sure if it does turn people to meth, but interesting that, you know, even Paula... trying to portray herself as kind of mainstream and caring.
Panini Queen.
Also, congratulations, I've got to say, astute listeners to the show will recall, or may recall, that we've had Arik Rice up here a couple of times,
director
of the Drug Lord Project, and he has, earlier this week, got off these charges, spurious charges that they had him up on.
Fantastic.
Big round.
Common sense for the win.
Exactly, and a big star of his documentary series, Drug Lord, has been Rose Renton, and of course she got off last week on the last of her charges, so here we have the police are continuing to bust people, but the courts actually are saying, hey, come on, what the hell are you doing? And they're actually finding ways to get people off.
It's costing a bit of money, but it's not costing, it stops at some point, obviously, when the courts are like, look, no, this isn't going, this person isn't getting charged anymore.
Yeah, yeah, well, you know, they're supposed to reflect society, right? And that's kind of where we're at these days.
That's good, that's good. Yeah. Wait, so what do the cops do? What do they do? They don't reflect society, what do they do?
You'd have to ask them that. I don't want to speak for them. No, we were looking into the arrests earlier this week, actually, which are now hosted on the police website. There's quite a good tool there where you can probe their data. And what it looks like, right? Here's where the trend has been over the last 20 years. In the mid-90s, they arrested about 18,000 to 20,000 people a year for use or possession. Right, and about 4,000 to 5,000 for supply type offences. Right, that was the ratio in the mid 90s. Now
in this country,
yeah, in New Zealand. Okay. So that gave us the highest arrest rate in the world for cannabis charges. Okay. Right, but 18,000 to 20,000 a year getting arrested for possession or use. Right. Now the latest stats, it's the same amount of supply charges. It's just stayed broadly consistent the entire time, 3,000 to 5,000 to maybe 6,000 a year, every single year through that entire period. And the use and possession charges have consistently dropped. There've been a couple of aberrations where they've gone up again, but now they are on 1,000 a year. So they've gone from 18,000 to 20,000 to 1,000 a year. Now they're apprehending about another 2,000 to 3,000 that they're not arresting or charging, right? So they're people that they're letting go on the street. So it seems like even those numbers are quite small. You're not even sort of really out there with the same enthusiasm for it as they once were.
So would you say this is kind of like the cops have stopped doing like the old tinny house bust, which they continue to run for a couple of days and then bust everyone that goes to get a tinny? That just basically stopped?
It could be a reflection that the cops are just people, right? And they're like, fuck, my mates smoke, you know? So when they see someone just smoking joint or something, they might not be as aggressive about it as they used to be naturally.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there's a bunch of things, right? They're people too. They live in society.
That's what I'm saying.
They can see what's going on. And they are supposed to reflect where society's at and put their emphasis and their resources into things that really matter. You know, things like meth have appeared on the scene, and that's much more important. And so a lot of police have made that kind of decision. But they've also give credit not only to the police for this, but to what happened under the national government when Bill English made them look at it from an investment point of view. That's where they had to start letting a lot more people go, because it doesn't stack up even from a taxpayer's benefit to go around arresting cannabis consumers.
Hear, hear.
All right, Chris.
Well, thank you very much. I think we've
just run out of bed, so it's great time to say we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media. I'm in love with